The first chapter of the book of Daniel. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We'll start reading at verse number 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the musicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Let us pray. Father, again today I thank you for the word of God. Thank you what you've done here in this place this day. Thank you so much for the precious souls that were saved. Thank you, Father, for decisions that was made. We just want to thank you, Lord, for how good you are to us, your grace, your mercy. And once again tonight, Lord, as we preach, we do want the name of the Lord lifted up. We want you honored. We want, Father, what is being said tonight to be from you. And Father, we trust that this preacher will listen to you and hear you and mind you as I speak this message this evening. And I pray for hearts that they be open to, Lord, what is being said, what is being presented, Lord, and that our hearts be open and receptive to the precious Bible, the Word of God. Thank you now for your goodness to us. Trust that, Lord, everything that needs to be done tonight in our hearts will be done, that we'll allow you to work and do that which needs to be accomplished. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to, again tonight, preach a message from the book of Daniel. We've told you we're going to be bringing some messages from the book of Daniel on Sunday nights, and we will not probably be doing a verse-by-verse study in the book of Daniel, but we're going to cover it and do our best to be a blessing to you. I think there's some exciting things in the book of Daniel in the days that we live in, and so we're gonna be bringing these messages. I hesitated to read this. I didn't want anybody to run out, but I waited till after this was all over before I presented it to you. I picked this this notice up somewhere, and I wanted you to know about it, but I was afraid you'd get all excited about it, and so I waited till it was over. But this was the Monte Carlo night. This is at the Sacred Heart Church in Clinton, Indiana. That's pretty close to us, and so I was a little bit afraid to announce it, but here's what they're having. They said that night, they said the upper level, they're having Caribbean stud poker. Now this is serious. 5-card draw and roulette and poker. And these payout will be gifts and certificates. The dinner menu is spaghetti, salad, and dessert, beer, wine, and soft drinks. The lower level is bingo, pool tabs, 50-50, and this will pay out with cash, and all proceeds will benefit Sacred Heart Church and School. And I was trying to find out some ways to make some money for our school and our church and send what we could do. But you know, when I read that, you know, I joke about it here, but I in sorrow, in great sorrow, I looked at that and I said, oh my, is there any wonder that the nation that we live, this blessed nation we live in, is such a mess? It's just so sad what's going on even in our area, but just makes us want to stand for God more. Amen. We just want to get the word of God out and do right, and whatever those folk do, they'll have to answer to the Lord for it. But I'm very sorry that those kind of things are around and call themselves a church. They're not a church. They're not a church of the Lord. Amen. So tonight, anyway, we're going to speak on Daniel, the verses that we talked about here. We remember when Daniel was brought here to Babylon, You remember how that he took a stand for God. We'd preached about that. You've heard that over and over in preaching, and the Word of God's been taught to you about Daniel, and what a wonderful thing it is that Daniel took a great stand, wasn't going to defile himself with the king's meat. You've heard all those things, and we talked about that a couple of 3 weeks ago. And what a wonderful thing. Daniel, a young man here, his other three other men took their stand for the Lord and stood for right, done what was right. You've probably read it, you've probably heard it, you've probably heard it preached, but, you know, dare to be a Daniel. Be a Daniel. Be like Daniel was. Stand up for God and do right, you know. And we're so thankful as I see Daniel and how he just was not going to defile himself with the king's meat. He was going to do right. But he done it in a proper way. He presented it in a proper way. He was in a strange country, and he requested from the prince of the eunuchs. He requested that he would not be allowed to defile himself, as you remember. And so the prince of the eunuchs allowed this, and he allowed him to be fed the way he wanted to be fed, and he wouldn't be take of the king's meat or the king's wine and all of those things. Well, that's what we have kind of leading up to verse number 17. He says, For these four children God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. We taught in our Sunday school class this morning from the book of Acts, the fifth chapter of the book of Acts. Basically, what Daniel was saying is what they said in the book of Acts. We ought to obey God rather than man. And this is what basically Daniel was saying. I want to obey God. I'm not interested in what man wants. I want to obey God. I want to do what God says in his word. And these four Hebrew children, that's basically what they were saying. We just want to obey God. We just want to do what God wants for us to do. That's what happened there in the book of Acts, the fifth chapter. And they just stood up and they said, you know what? We ought to obey God. That's what we ought to do. We just ought to obey God, not man. We ought to obey him, you know. And what God had told them to do was, and remember this, because God had given them some instructions. In the book of Acts, the fifth chapter, God had given them the instructions that they was to go. That's the first word in verse 20 there of chapter 5. Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. They were given instructions to do this. They were not being rebellious. They was not saying, well, this is what I think, and this is what I'm going to do. They had gotten instructions from God Almighty to go back to the temple. God got them out of jail and opened the door and got them out of jail and said, now you go, you stand, and you speak the words of this life. In other words, you go and you preach the word of God there in the temple. And that's what they did. They was minding God. We got to be a little careful. We want to make sure that when we say something, we're going to do this. It's not just some whim of ours, but it's God's instruction. It's what God has given us to do. And of course, God's told us a lot of things to do as Christians, but we want to be very careful that we just don't go off on a limb somewhere and we think we ought to do this, we think we ought to do that. Go by the instructions God gives us. And that's what God did here. He gave them instructions, and they went and they stood in the temple and they preached the word of God just as been given. Well, same thing here in Daniel. Daniel was going according to the word of God. He said, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. I'm not going to defile myself with a wine. It would have been a defiling to a Jew to eat the things that they was instructed to eat. It would have been defiling to eat a drink of the wine. And so Daniel says, I'm not going to do that. You see, he was given instructions. He was taking his stand from the word of God. I guess when it gets down, that's what I want you to understand is this was not something Daniel just said, I'd just rather not do this. This is God's word. And he knew he was not to defile himself, so he was not going to defile himself because God said not to. Amen. You ought to have something to back up why what you do and what you don't do. Amen. You ought to have something to back it up. So I believe down through life. I've watched my own life. I've watched other people's life. I've seen people grow in the Lord. There's always choices God puts before us, just choices and decisions of what we're going to do, what we're not going to do. You know, there's just choices we have to make. People that stood for the Lord and for the Word of God all down through the years has had to make choices. I look back and think, I was listening the other day on the radio, listening to old Lester Roloff. He had to make some difficult choices. He made some decisions. This is what he was going to do. This is what he's not going to do. He was willing to go to jail for it. I mean, you understand those things, you see. Everybody has choices in life to make. And I believe every Christian has choices. Daniel made a choice. This is what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat and wine. Okay? And so I think that's true for us as God's people. We have to make choices what we're going to do, what we're not going to do. We're going to stand on the word of God. That's why I'm not going to do this, because the word of God says so. This is why I'm going to do this, because the word of God says so. Amen? You see, so choices must be made. Now, let me say to you, there'll be more choices. You've already had to make some choices. There'll be more choices in your life. There's always choices to make. God allows that in our life. And just lets us stand for the things of the Lord. He's wanting us to look at the Bible, know the Bible, read the Bible, study the Bible, know what God says, and then make your choices according to the Bible, the Word of God. Amen? So it's not just for back in Daniel's day, it's for our day. Daniel was a great example because he made a choice here to stand for God no matter what happened. He was going to stand for the Lord. Now I realize that we are supposed to follow the laws of this country until it oversteps the law of God. I believe there's a lot of things this country asks us to do, our nation asks us to do, that I don't especially want to do. I don't want to pay the high taxes that I pay, but I don't think God's going to say it's okay if you don't pay them. I think it's there. We have to pay them. It's not overstepping the law of God. And so I'm just simply saying there's some things that just overstep the law of God and that we don't do because God says not to. Amen? We don't want to go out and steal. Why? Because God says not to. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? We don't lie because God says not to. You know, that's why we do that. You see, we don't do those things because God says not to do them. Now, Daniel here had been in school for 3 years. I call it school. They took him, taught him a new language, and supposedly fed him all these things, but he was eating the things that he believed his God wanted him to eat. So he comes 3 years later, because that's the point of time that the king had given. 3 years they would be fed this and all of this, and then they would come before the king. Verse 17 is where they come before the king. After these days were passed, as the Bible says, after these 3 years were passed, then they stood before the king. Now let me just say something to you. God has given us instructions not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are not to conform to this world. Daniel, that's what Daniel was saying. I'm not going to conform to this world. I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm going to stand for what the Word of God says. That's what God is saying for you and me to do. Not to be transformed, not to be conformed to this old world, form in a pattern like this world is, but no, we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And choices have to be made on a daily basis. Are we going to live for God? Are we going to do right? Are we going to do what He says? On a daily basis, we're going to have to decide these things. Now, I just want to say something. If you're living a compromising life, you just compromise with the Word of God, the outcome is going to be no power in your life. There's going to be no power in your life if you're going to compromise the Word of God. You're going to have a spiritual barrenness about you. You're not going to be very strong spiritually. You can't compromise with this old world. You understand? If we do, we're going to end up, we're not going to like the outcome, you see. There's no going to be, and I hope you understand when I say this, like Daniel had, there's not going to be any dreams and visions. Now, I know I'm not talking about what you may think I'm talking about, but dreams and visions, every one of us ought to have a vision of what God wants for our life. Every one of us ought to have a vision of what the purpose God has left us here for. There's a reason God wants you to be here. There's a reason God has put you where you're at. There's a reason for that. There's a purpose for all of that. And God wants you to realize the purpose is to do the work of God. Whatever that is in this life, you'll be different than I am. But the whole purpose is we're to serve God. No matter what you do, what your occupation is, or whatever it is, you are to serve the true and the living God. You agree with that? Amen. Are you with me on that? Amen? That's just a simple preaching. But we need some good visions of what God wants for our life. This is not a helter-skelter world. You're just not put here to just wander through life and wonder what it is that you're going to do one of these days. No, God has a purpose in every life. You agree with that? Amen. And that purpose is to serve Him in whatever occupation, whatever it is that you do. But we find out in verse 17 The reason Daniel had this, he says, for as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. It was because Daniel and these children maintained a good conscience before God that God was able to provide these things for them and give them this extra wisdom. What I want you to understand tonight is God wants to give you wisdom. God wants you to have wisdom and instructions. Listen, the Bible says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. You know that verse of scripture. It's a verse that I claim and have claimed for ever since I've been practically saved. I love that verse of scripture because it tells me that I can trust God to guide me and direct me in all things. But you must look at the principle that in which that verse of scripture was stated. In Psalms 32:8, you'll find Daniel dealing with his sin. He acknowledged his sin. He confessed his sin. He uncovered his sin. He did not hide it. And the Bible says he confessed his sin. And it says then that God forgave him for his sin. Right after that, you find that the communion with God returns. Why? Because he took care of the sin problem. And then right after that, after this wonderful communion with God Almighty, you find out that verse of scripture we were just talking about, that he would instruct us and teach us in the way which we should go, he will guide us with an eye, comes in order. After sin is taken care of, after communion with God is restored, then God says, I'll guide you. Knowing the will of God thing is not a difficult thing. Now, some people want to make it difficult. Oh, I'm searching the will of God. Well, listen to me. Keep your life clean. Keep sin out of your life. Keep it confessed. Keep it forgiven. Be right with God. Be in close communion with God. And you don't have to worry about the will of God because he'll lead you into it. It'll come. I mean, God wants you to be in the will of God more than you want to be in the will of God. So he's not trying to hide something for you. All you need to do is live the life that you should live. Get sin out of your life. Do away with it. Be right with God. Be in good communion with God. The will of God will come in his time. He will show you the way. He will instruct you. It's a promise of God. Amen? Don't spend the rest of your life worrying about the will of God. Just keep yourself clean and it'll come. He'll direct you. May not do it when you want it. We all want to know tomorrow, don't we? Or today, maybe, what God wants. It doesn't usually come that way, but it will come. Keep your life clean. Keep sin confessed, uncovered, acknowledged. And God forgives. He will then lead and guide and direct us. Amen? So it's not a difficult thing. Just keep your life clean. Keep your life clean. Keep sin confessed. Keep it forgiven. God will lead you and guide you. Now you want to say, well, I want to continue to live in my life the way I want to live it, and I want to know the will of God. You probably never will. You'll never know the perfect will of God. You're going to have to get your life cleaned up. And you say, well, Brother Ross, he hasn't told me anything. Then just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. God wants something different for your life. He'll tell you if you keep your life cleaned. Understand? Keep it clean. Keep it forgiven. Keep in close communion with God. Amen. So that's what Daniel had done. He had maintained a good conscience before God. He had maintained that, and so he knew, and God was going to guide him and direct him, and God gave him all of these things, these wonderful wisdom that he needed. God gave it to him because he could give it to this man. Why? He was keeping his life clean. He was close to God. He was trying to walk the way God wanted him. He wasn't going to defile himself, all these things. And God just opened the doors for him. God brought him in good favor, the Bible says, with the prince of the eunuchs. Don't you think God can do that? Yes, he did. I'm just saying, why? Because he was one of God's men. He was where he was supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to be doing. And God just blessed him. Amen? You know, I'm not going to go over there but in Timothy, but in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, third chapter, talks about the living with a good conscience toward God. This is what I'm talking about. Every person ought to have a good conscience toward God. You ought not to have sin build up in your life. You ought to live in a good conscience. Is there anything on your conscience that's bothering you? Get it before God. Get it forgiven. Get it cleansed. Amen. Just live in good conscience before God. Amen. Oh, I'd tell these young people that. Just live in good conscience before God. Anything between you and God, keep it confessed. keep it confessed, cleansed, amen, acknowledged, uncovered, just keeping good, good communion with God. And you don't have to worry about all these things. God will take care of you. God will lead you and God will direct you. Amen. That's what. Live in good conscience. Is there something bothering your conscience? Is there something you've done? Is there things in your life that you know is not right and you've never got it right with God? Well, then get it right with God. Get it right. Live in a good conscience before the Lord. Amen. So we find that Daniel here and these four Hebrew children, or excuse me, three other ones besides Daniel here, received the wisdom from God Almighty. You know why? They didn't conform to Babylon. See, if you go out here and you want to conform to this world, you want to live the way this world lives, do what this world does, you're not going to get the great wisdom of God that God wants you to have. You understand that? You see, that's not the way. You don't want to conform. You want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You want to do what God says to do, you see. Amen. Live like God wants you to live. I believe something. Spiritual wisdom is needed today. I told our Sunday school class a little bit this morning. I was talking to them. I was telling them it worries me. I'm concerned. I really am. I'm really concerned. I'm concerned about the younger generation. I'm not just talking about these teenagers here. I'm concerned about the younger couples. We need God's wisdom. You need God's wisdom. And many times you just go on through life and just get so busy, caught up in the things that you're doing, and you don't give attention to the things of God. Things can go on around you, and you don't even recognize it's going on around you. Satan can be tearing up things in a church, and you don't even recognize it. You understand what I'm saying? You don't recognize. You need to recognize some things. You need to get some spiritual discernment about you. Are you hearing me? You see, this thing is not some game that you're playing in church. This is serious business. Oh, Satan would do anything. He'd love to just do anything to tear up this church and cause this church to falter and not do what God wants it to do. He would love that. He would want that. You need to get some discernment about you, some spiritual discernment about you. Don't let people undermine this work. When they do undermine this work, put them on the go. They make these little comments, you know, that sound so good and so wonderful, you know. They're not trying to hurt anybody, but they make these comments about the pastor and the deacons and the other people of the church and, you know, and all. Baloney. That's undermining the work of God. And you need, as young couples, need to understand that. Stand up for God. Quit this foolishness. You need some discernment about you. Spiritual discernment. That's why David had this extra wisdom, because he stayed close to God. Amen. So I'm saying to you, you need to do this. This church needs to do this. You see, you say, oh, Brother Austin, does that happen? All the folks are such good folks. Listen to me. Happens all the time. You stay on top of it. Get some discernment about you. See what God wants you to do, and watch for old Satan's work amongst you. You hear this, preacher? Amen. So I say to you, I think you get caught up in your life and just the things of life, and you just get busy and you do this and that. You don't pay attention to what's going on about the work of God here. The work of God here is more important than you and me. That God's work gets done is more important than you and the affairs that you have in life. More important than you. Don't be so selfish. The work of God is what's important. Amen. Listen, I've been preaching for almost 34 years. First year would be 34 years. I've been preaching a long time. I've seen this thing. I've seen old Satan move amongst good people. Good people. I've seen Satan move. Now listen, you've got to get some discernment about you and quit believing everything you hear. Stand up for God. Stand up for the right. Stand up for the Word of God. Stand up for this work here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. We had three children saved here this morning. Don't you think that's important? I think that's important. I think that's very, very important. We've had people saved back through the years constantly. Oh, you know, week after week after week, we see people saved. I'm just saying to you, that's more important than any little whim somebody has. Amen. So just recognize from whence it comes. It's not of God. I've told you before, do you think God would send somebody into the congregation to tear up the work of God? That does not come from God. That comes from Satan. Amen? Amen. Amen. So Daniel just stood for truth. He contended for the faith, like Jude said, preaching through Jude on Wednesday nights, but he contended for the faith. Why did he have this wisdom? Because he didn't conform to this world. That's why he had the wisdom. That's why God could trust him with it, you see. I just know something, folks. Our churches, our homes, we preached on the home this morning. Our churches, our homes need God's wisdom. We need God's power. We'll talk about that in a minute. We need God's power. We need God working. See, Satan hates it when God works. Satan hates that thing, you see. Where do we receive wisdom from? Well, we got to get it from God. Where did Solomon get it? We're not going to go back here, but where did Solomon get his wisdom? God gave it to him. It was a gift that God gave Solomon. Amen. Over in Luke 22nd chapter, Jesus talking to the disciples, he said this, I will give you mouth and wisdom. You want wisdom? Get it from God. The Bible says in James, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. You need God's wisdom. You don't buy that at Kmart and Walmart and all those things. You got to ask of God. You got to get wisdom from God. Now, how are you going to get that wisdom? You're not going to get it with a dirty life. God don't give his wisdom to dirty lives. You keep your life clean, confessed up, forgiven, and God will give you the wisdom you need. Amen? Sure. This here came to Daniel because he had a pure heart, had a pure conscience. He was right with God. Amen? That's what I want. That's where I want every one of us to be, right with God. Trust God. God will give you the wisdom then that you need, you see. I believe there's a real lack of God's wisdom in Christianity today. And I believe the whole purpose is this. There's sin in Christians' lives. They won't get it right. No, they won't get it right. They won't do like David did and cried out and acknowledged his sin, uncovered his sin, confessed his sin where God could forgive him. You're not going to get that wisdom that you need with sin all covered up. Get it before the Lord. David said, I confess my sin unto the Lord. He got right with God. You know, to do that, you have to admit you're a sinner. You have to admit there's sin in your life. You have to look at self and realize what we are, you see. God's always willing to forgive, isn't he? But we've got to recognize it and see it as it is and confess it before God and get along with God and do right. So God will give us the wisdom, you see, that he wants us to have, you see. You can't have this defilement of the world. You see, you've got to get rid of it or your spiritual eyes are going to be darkened. Listen, folks, you're not going to have the spiritual discernment and the spiritual understanding you need when there's sin in your life. Okay? I know Pastor is harping on that, but you've got to understand, God wants you to have this discernment, this wisdom. God wants you to have that. But it's not going to come until you get things right with God and get it forgiven. Amen? Instead of growth in your Christian life, what you're going to see is a decline in spiritual things. You see, I can't look at you. I can't tell for sure the spiritual condition of your heart. I can't do that, but I want to tell you something. If there's not a desire to serve God, if there's not a desire to see folks saved, if there's not a true desire to love the Lord and the work of God is more important than your agenda, there's something wrong. You see, we live in such a selfish generation. We're more concerned about us and our position in life and what happens to us than we are the work of God. Folks, the work of God is what's important. Daniel was there going to be used of God. Going to be used of God. God had a great purpose for Daniel being there in Babylon. And he was not going to be used if he wasn't right with God. So he kept his life clean. Amen. Daniel, of course, got his gifts from God. Verse 17, God gave it to him. God gave him all of this wisdom. And God wants to give us that same wisdom, you see. We're not going to be motivated to do the things that God wants us to be unless we've got a pure, clean life. I'm stressing that, but I believe God wants me to stress it. Listen to me, folks. You got things wrong between you and God. You need to get them right. Do you understand this, preacher? You're not going to win it. You're not going to win. Because even your families are at stake because you need the wisdom of God to raise families. I want to see, I told him this morning, Pastor Jerry, back when we started the Sunday school class that you're teaching, the young adult Sunday school class, one of the purposes for that, the main purpose for that was to build a young generation to take over for the older generation, to build them into some spiritual giants, to be used in this church to the glory of God. That was the purpose behind it. That's why we did it. That's why and I think he's doing a tremendous job trying to get them ready, build them. But he can't make you do it. He can't make you get excited for God. He can't make you get on fire for God. Amen. And we're just living in a time where we need people on fire for God. Amen. We need that. And so I say to you, please let God deal with you and work with you concerning these things. Now we find in verse number 18 and 19, he says, "Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was none like Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king." Now I just want you to notice in these verses of scripture, they came in to stand before the king. King was going to look them over. And he found out that there was no one as good as these. They was 10 times better. I want to tell you something, whether you understand it or not, God's children, God's people is 10 times better than this old world's people. I think it's in verse 15, maybe. In verse 15, yeah. As far as I know, they was the only four that did what God wanted them to do. The Bible tells us that they was, at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. They was the most of the folk eat the portion of the king's meat. Now you're going to find that today. You're going to look around you and you're going to say, you know what? Other people are doing it. That's not the criteria. That's not the criteria. Don't make any difference what other people are doing. They're doing wrong. Amen. You know, it's usually a small percentage that decides to step out and do right. You young people, you need to step out and you need to do right no matter what everybody else does. You need to do it because it's right for what God wants you to do. There's going to be others that's not going to. They're going to walk away from God. They're going to conform to this world. You bet you they are. I'm just saying to you, no, that's not the criteria. You look around and see, what does God want for my life? God wants you to stand fast for him. Stand according to the word of God, you see. That's what he wants. And that's what these folk did. You see, let me tell you something. One of the wisdom of God is greater than all the, or excuse me, the wisdom of this world is not greater than the wisdom of God. It's not. It's this old world has got a lot of wisdom. They know technology. They know all these things. And they know how to get to the moon. They know all this. But the wisdom of God is more important. To have the wisdom of God is more important than all the learning you could ever get in a book. Now, I'm not against learning. I'm not against you getting learning. I'm just simply saying to you, this is more important. God's wisdom is more important. Amen. Now, to the world, it'll look like foolishness. Yeah, they don't understand the people that want to serve God. To the world, it looks like foolishness. But it's not foolishness. It's more important to have the wisdom of God. Amen. So you search for the wisdom of God, you see. The weakness of God is stronger than men. I don't think there's any weakness in God, but he was just saying anybody that would consider anything weak in God, let me tell you, he's a lot stronger than what God, than man is. Amen? Sure. Daniel and his friends knew the scripture. They knew from Jeremiah that there was going to be a 70-year captivity. They knew that. They understood that. They went into this thing with their eyes open. You know, that could have caused them to say, you know what, 70 years we've got to live here. We can't do that. We might as well conform. No. That did not deter them one moment for loving God and walking with God. I say to you, I know we can't put a number on it, but there's years left till Jesus comes. I don't know how long that is, but there's days left till Jesus comes, and we need to just be steadfast in the faith. No matter what happens, it don't make a difference if it's 100 years or 70 years or 100 years or whatever it might be. Just be steadfast in the faith. Keep living for God. Keep walking with God. Amen. No matter what. Yes, the world's tough. I hear all this. Well, it's tough. So what? Just keep living for God, walking with God. Amen. Doing what he said. You see, it didn't deter them one bit. I believe something. We need some Daniels today. We need some Daniels to just say, I'm just not going to go the world's way. I'm not going to conform to this old world. I'm going to walk with God. We need young people to do that. We need older people to do that. We need adults to do that. Amen. We need young adults to do that. So I'm just going to walk with God, you see. And we need somebody with some determination and conviction that's like Daniel had. He had conviction. He had determination in his life. I'm just going to do right, no matter what anybody else does. Amen. You'll be surprised. You'll see some people walk away from God. You'll see some people don't want to get involved in the work of God. Don't pay attention to them. You just go ahead and do it. Be a Daniel in the midst of all of this foolishness that we see. You know, Daniel loved God. You know, there's no doubt about it. Daniel had a great love for God. We need to see some people that just have a great love for God Almighty. Just wants to walk with God and love Him. Do right. Because one of these days we're gonna face Him. Amen. I'm afraid that many Christians have conformed to this world instead of being transformed in the image of Christ. We've let the world take over our life. And we've just conformed to it. We do the same things the world does. Our attainments is the same as what the world wants. They want more money and more money and more money and more money. And that's what builds our lives. That's what they build their life around. Instead of the things of God. No, that's not right. Listen, the church has suffered terrifically for this. You look at that little statement there I read to you. But that's nothing, folks. The world is going away from God and His Word. See, preachers have quit preaching the Word of God. They're afraid to preach. They're afraid to preach. I want to tell you something. I hear years ago, I had a man tell me he was supposed to be a preacher. Oh, he said, you can't preach that anymore. I said, was it ever right? Did you used to preach it? Oh, yeah. Was it right? Yeah. You can't do that anymore. What do you mean you can't do that anymore? You never quit preaching truth. You never quit preaching truth. You keep preaching truth no matter what happens. Amen. If the stars fall, you keep preaching truth. Amen. So preachers down through the years is falling away. They're taking their churches and heading in different directions. They're lowering their standards. They're letting the junk music into their churches. They're doing all kinds of things and saying that's all right. It draws a crowd. Baloney. We stick according to the Word of God. We do things right. We want good music in our church. Why? Because God would want good music in our church. Amen. We've got standards. Why? Because God has standards. We want to do right. We want to stress soul winning. Why? Because God, that's out of the heart of God. Soul winning touches the heart of God. Amen. So we want to do those things. I've heard all kinds of stories down through the years about deacons and some of the deacons in churches and how they live and sneaking in the back door of a tavern. I was told that years ago. Right up here in Jasonville, Indiana, this man told me, he said, listen, I own this tavern up here. There's some of the deacons from the churches around here that used to sneak in to the back door and buy their liquor. I was told that years and years ago. Thank God we've got some good, solid deacons here that love the Lord. And that's the kind of deacons we need. That'll set a good example for this church and for this community and live for God. Amen. Do right. Be honest. And all of those things, you see. But there's also just church members that live like the devil. They gossip. They're unfaithful to the house of God. That's wrong. No. We just need church members that'll turn their life over to God and walk with God and serve God and quit their gossiping, quit all that foolishness and all that sin and all of that stuff and live for God and set a good testimony for this community, for the Lord. Amen. Gossip's been one of my favorite subjects down through the years. It's been one of those things, and you know why? Because it'll do more destruction in 5 minutes than you can build in a year or 10 years sometimes. Gossip's a horrible thing. It's a wicked thing. Don't get involved with it. Amen? Just don't get involved with it. Amen? Live for God. Walk with God. Do right. Live right. You see, church members that'll set forth a good testimony out there in this world. I don't care what kind of job you're in. That doesn't make any difference. You can live for God in that job. Amen. You can do right no matter what. I believe the church don't have the influence that it used to have. I really mean that. The church and the community don't have. And the reason I believe that is because the power is gone. The power of God is gone from their lives. Daniel, it says of Daniel in verse number 21, that Daniel continued. I want to talk to you for just a few moments about continuing. This old thing of giving up, quitting. I sat down beside a man over in Pigeon Forge. Don and I was down in that area, in Gatlinburg area, and we went up into the Smoky Mountains. Beautiful, beautiful. God's creation is so beautiful. And anyway, we was there, and you know how ladies like to shop. You know that. I mean, ladies like to go in all these shops, and we stopped there at the, I think it's called the Tangier Outlet. Tangier Outlet, big one out of Seversville, between Seversville and Pigeon Forge. So we went into that, and I mean, they had shops everywhere. And I'll have to admit, I've done a little shopping. I got a couple, three things that I'd been looking for, got a good buy on them, but I'm not a good shopper. I just want to go in, you pick it up, you get out, you get in your car, and you take off just as fast as you can. All the being said, amen. That's the way I do, that's the way I like to do. But, you know, in the goodness of my heart, I let my wife go to these shops. I said, you just go to all you want, and I'll meet you right back here. And so what I do when we go to things like that, I so enjoy it. I look for men to talk to. It's exciting. I really do. I walked up to this one man. I've done it many times, but I walked up to this one man, and I said, is this seat saved for anybody? Sitting outside one of these shops, he said, is this the men's place where we sit and wait on our ladies? And he laughed, and he said, yeah, this is it. I said, can I join you? And I always kind of do that because I want to talk to him. I want to talk to him about the Lord. And so I sat down beside this man, and we got to talking. He was an elderly gentleman, up around 70 years old, I'm going to say. It may be a little over 70. He got to telling me his story. Told me he was an old military fella. And Jerry, I'm going to send him one of your books. I went out in my car and I'd give all my books away. Brother Ron Allen's life story. I'd give them all away along the way. And I didn't have any left. And I gave him one for his wife. And told him I would send him one of these books. And so he thanked me. And I said, are you a Christian? And he said, yes, I am. And he kind of drawled up and he said, can I tell you a story? I said, I'd love to hear it. He said, I got saved when I was young. So I got saved when I was young. And he said, I walked away from God. Now he said, I didn't get out in just terrible sin. I was in the military. And he said, I don't mean that I just done horrible things, but I just walked away from God. I didn't let God have any way in his life, my life. He said, for 40 years. And he said, my wife come down sick. And he named all the things that was wrong with his wife. I couldn't even begin to name them. She had horrible physical problems. And in fact, she come not trotting by, she come with her cane by, and he said, that's my wife there. And I spoke to her. She went on down to another shop. She seen he was busy, you know. You know how ladies do. They just go from shop to shop to shop. And anyway, so he was telling me about his wife. Told me the story. He said, in 1997, he said, my wife was so sick that the doctors told me she would not make it. She was not going to make it through this. And he said, I stepped out of her room and he said, I looked up and I said, God. And then he said, you know what, God? I don't have a right to ask you anything. So I said, I slipped down to the chapel in the hospital. I got down on my knees and I told God I was so sorry for my past life. I wasn't even able to be used of him. And I asked him to forgive me. And then he said, I sent a simple prayer. I said, God, if you could see fit, would you take care of my wife and just bring her through this? He said, the very next day, he said, I went into her room and the doctor said, I don't know what happened. She's coming through it. She'll probably live. She's still sick. She's still got a lot of problems, but she'll probably live. That was in 1997 and she went walking by. Amen. And he said, well, you don't know, but I do know what happened. And he said, here's what he said to me. He said, I want you to go home and I want you to tell your congregation this. And I promised him I would. That's why I'm telling you. I promised him I would. He said, I want you to tell the people, don't walk away from God. It's not worth it. All of those years, he said, when I could have served God. He said, now I'm serving God now. We're in church. We're faithful. Told me he was down from Myrtle Beach, I believe it was. Lived near Myrtle Beach. He wasn't there, but a little ways away from Myrtle Beach. And he said, we go to church faithfully. But he said, I go back and I can't get that out of mind of all the years that I could have served God. But he said, God forgave me. But there was a horrible cost. And he said, I really believe with all of my heart, she probably wouldn't have had all of these problems physically if it hadn't have been for my spiritual condition. He said, I believe God done all of these things just to bring me back. And there in a little chapel, I begged God to forgive me. And I promised him I would tell you this. The reason I'm telling you this, you see, Daniel continued. This old stuff of walking away from God is foolishness. It's uncalled for. You have no reason to walk away from God. You never do. You never will. God has never failed you. Nor will he. You continue in the faith. You young people, don't ever walk away from God. This old finger of mine pointing at you, don't walk away from God. You understand me? Don't you walk away from God. It isn't worth it. There's a horrible cost to be paid. And I'm just saying to you folks, listen, continue in the faith. You're not going to win anybody to Christ by walking away from the Lord and causing your testimony to be blemished. You're going to win people to Christ by a testimony that says, I've been steadfast in the faith, in unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. I'm just saying to you folks, Daniel took that stand. He continued on to Cyrus, the king. Amen. Now I'm saying to you, you need to continue on. Amen. Don't walk away from God. You're never going to win that one. You don't have any excuse, no reason. So you don't know what's happening. Don't make any difference what's happened to you. Baloney. Nothing's ever happened to you worse than what happened to Jesus Christ when he went to the cross of Calvary and died there for your sins and my sins. We have no right to walk away from God. Don't you walk away from God. You serve God. Be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. Amen. Young people, just keep on serving God. Amen. For the rest of your life. No matter what happens, just serve God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and your kindness and your grace. Thank you, Father, for who you are, the great, the true, the wonderful God. Lord, we do need your strength. We need your power. We need you above all, Lord, as we walk this Christian life. But we know it's available for us. We know you're there. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. So I just pray tonight, Father, that you'll instill in the hearts of these people here tonight in this service, Lord, to just be a Daniel. Just stand forth for God no matter what happens. Just do right. Don't defy themselves to this world. Don't conform themselves to this world. Let them be transformed in the image of Christ. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.